Joshua chapter number one. Joshua chapter number one. And please be in prayer for Pastor and, of course, his family. I've been trying to look around to see if Christine's around. I don't think she is, but that doesn't mean a whole lot in the sense of having a baby, because sometimes there's false alarms. But if you would continue to be in prayer for Christine and for John, and I know Pastor is looking forward to, I think it's their sixth grandchild. And what a time of celebration for them. I was telling my kids, I said, come on, we're falling behind here. Man, oh man, we only got two. Man, it's 6-2 right now. And I'm challenging them. We got to get the score a little bit closer there. But let's continue just be in prayer for Pastor. And I pray that he'll have a great week this week. And I know we're looking forward to having him back on Sunday. Joshua chapter number one. If you're physically able, can you stand on your feet one more time? And we're going to look at this portion of Scripture. And how many of you love Joshua? Man, I tell you what, I love Joshua. I love Joshua and Caleb. And boy, you know, they saw some obstacles, but man, they had hearts of faith. The rest of them, they were fearful. They were afraid. They're thinking, no way can we go in that promised land. There's giants in there. But Joshua and Caleb had faith, believing that God was able. And you want to know something? As a church, we need to have that same courage if we're going to be giant killers. And may I say this individually? There are some giants in your life that you need to slay. There may be some giants in your past. They keep on popping their ugly head up, and they keep on defeating you. And we're going to learn from Joshua's life today how he conquered some giants. Let me ask you a question before we read God's. How many of you want to be some giant killers? Huh? I do. I want to slay some giants. And I pray that together we will find some encouragement from God's word so that we can leave this place renewed in our spirit and say, no matter what kind of giant I'll face this week, I'm with God's word and with God's power. Man, we can defeat those giants. Amen. And as a Cubs fan, of course, I'm referring to the San Francisco Giants. Now, that would be a miracle. But look at verse number one. The Bible says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now look down in verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight, and I pray that you would help us. Lord, I'm not sure every burden that's in this auditorium, but I know there's hundreds. And there's hundreds of giants that our people will face this week. And I pray that as we get into your word, that we would learn some of the principles that were activated in Joshua's life where he became a giant killer. And I pray that you'd help us to face our giants. And may you bring the victory to our lives. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. in life, we will face some giants. Now, these giants come in all different sizes. You know, this coming September, you know, those kindergartners going to kindergarten for the first time, for them, that's a giant. For those new moms taking their child to school for the first time, that's a giant. They're going to leave their son or their daughter at school for the very first time. That's a nerve-wracking time. Then you got those sixth graders that are going into seventh grade, and they have lockers now. And it's fearful for them. It's almost like a giant. You know, will they find the right locker? Will they be able to, you know, do the combination, open up their locker? Man, to them, it's like a giant. And then you think about someone that's at, you know, their senior year now. And then in just 12 months or so, they'll be graduating from high school. And then they have, you know, their whole future. And to that, for some, it's like a giant. What am I going to do with my life? And then you think of maybe a couple that's about ready to get married. And for them, it's like, a giant. Man, we're going to get married. And I have no idea what I'm doing as a husband. I have no idea what I'm doing as a wife. And boy, then you know, you have that first child. By the time you have the fifth child, you're an expert at it. But, you know, we face giants all the time. There's fears. There's apprehension. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of flying. Some people are afraid of spiders. I just Googled fears. Some people are afraid of dust. Some people, there's a phobia for wind. Hope they don't live in Lancaster. There's a phobia for taking tests. I wasn't diagnosed with having that phobia, but I think I did. But then there's a phobia of snakes. Now, I don't know about you, but there's no good snake. There's only one good snake, and that is a dead snake. Now, especially me, I'm from the city, and boy, I get out in the woods, or you get out in the forest preserve, man, I'll tell you what, I think behind every rock there's a poisonous rattlesnake ready to, you know, devour me. This last week, my wife and I were going to do some exercising, and we wanted to go hiking together, and so we kind of mapped out this little area we're going to go, and so we got there, and we went, they had a ranger's office there, so we went in there and kind of got our map and some directions, and then right off to the side, they had this area, just displays, you know, maybe some of the animals, creatures that they found in the area where we're going to go hiking. And remember, there was this big old bear that was stuffed that was in the corner, and there was this mountain lion, and then all these other little critters, and I came up to this one cage, and it had some rattlesnakes in there. So I had my walking stick, and I started kind of tapping on that cage there, and boy, that rattlesnake got a little irritated with me. And boy, the rattle started going, and boy, it's kind of looking at me, kind of raising up his head and ready to kind of snap at me. And, you know, as long as it was in the cage, I felt pretty, you know, confident. You know, I felt pretty courageous there. And so, you know, you see all these little things, and boy, they kind of get imprinted into your mind. So I think my wife and I, we got about 10 yards into our hike. We crossed this dry lake bed, and as we're going up this little hill, we heard this little rattle over into the bushes right there. And I was about ready to scream, to be honest with you. But my wife beat me to it, and she, wah! And she jumped on this rock. I don't know if I could jump on it, but she jumped on that, and she's screaming. And then I was laughing. I'm thinking that ranger back there, he's having a big old time. Those lady slickers, man. But you want to know something? I'm not sure what you're afraid of. But listen, we can slay any giant when God's with us. You know, the book of Joshua is a record of the conquering of Canaan by the children of Israel under the leadership of Joshua, who was Moses' successor. Joshua's task as Israel's leader was a very difficult task. Besides becoming after Moses, following Moses, and walking in his steps, he had a giant task in itself. He had to lead the children of Israel into the land filled with warlike nations who outnumbered Israel. Plus, there were giants in the land. How could Joshua or anyone follow in the footsteps of a great leader like Moses? What kind of man would Joshua have to be for this giant task that was before him? Tonight, We're going to look at this amazing story that we find here in Joshua chapter number 1. And I think we're going to find and we're going to uncover four key ingredients that will enable us, when we face our giants, just like Joshua, when he faced his, that we'll be able to conquer them. So let me ask you, are you ready to be a giant killer? Are you ready to kind of defeat some of those giants that have been kind of holding you down in your life? I believe with all my heart, if we take these four key ingredients and we implement them into our lives, we'll be able to slay some giants that have been keeping us down. The first key ingredient that we find is found in verses 1 and 2, and it's the word commitment. Commitment. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Now, what was this commitment? This commitment was simply this. It was a commitment to exercise unreserved commitment to the course God had called you to. So Joshua had to have this unreserved commitment to the course that God called him to do. Now, that course was to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, I'm not sure exactly what course God has for you to run, but may I say this, that course that God's called you to run, you need commitment. And we're going to look at this. We see, first of all, the completion of Moses. We see an attitude of despair here. There was much sorrow in the camp of Israel due to the death of Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, it's a time of weeping, a time of mourning for the death of their leader. And they wept for 30 days, and Moses was a great leader. God's hand was upon him like no other. He stood before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Brought the plagues down, led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and God directed them through the wilderness and saw miracles after miracles after miracles. Moses was an amazing man. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 10 and 11, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord showed, that the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh." What are we going to do now? Who's going to lead us? We see a sense of despair, but now we see an action determined. I love verse 2 and how kind of cut and dry this is. Look what God says to Joshua. "Moses, my servant, is dead." Hey, Joshua, he's dead. Joshua, it's time for you to take that baton now. It's time for you to rise up and start leading the people of Israel into the promised land. You want to know something? A lot of times what we do, we regret over our mistakes. But may I say this, there's a time that we need to just rise up and we need to forget those things which are behind and we need to press towards that mark unto the high calling of Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not sure what you need to leave behind, but listen, it's time for some of us to rise up and to venture off into new land. And I pray as we consider this wonderful truth and just deciding to move forward. Listen, can I say this? Hey, Moses was dead, but the God that Moses worshiped is not dead. And may I say this, the same God that Moses served and Joshua served is alive tonight. That same God that brought great victories to their life and to their nation is still alive and sitting on the throne of heaven tonight. Oh, I pray that as a church that we would continue to see great victories won through the power and the presence of our amazing God. But then we see the calling of Joshua. Verse number 2, he says, "Now, after the death of Moses, now Joshua, it's time to rise up." Look what he says now. He says in verse 2, "For Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and unto land which I do give them, even unto the children of Israel." I love that little phrase in verse number 1. It says, "That the Lord spake unto Joshua." The calling of Joshua was by the sovereign hand of God Almighty. Joshua was being commissioned by God to lead the people into Canaan. This calling was going to, this calling wasn't going to be one without opposition. It wasn't going to be a calling that wasn't going to face difficulty. But Joshua always had to remember that God called him to that task. And may I challenge you and reflect for a moment that God has called us. And God has commissioned us to conquer some giants. And may we remember, the Lord spake. It's not me, it's not you, it's not us, but it's God Almighty that does it. Amen. The Lord spake unto Joshua. Oh, I think of so many different Bible illustrations here that they were commissioned and they were called and they were sent, and boy, then opposition came. I think of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:9. For he said, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Later on in the second book of Corinthians, this is what Paul wrote to these believers at Corinth. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which has come to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. I am thankful that we serve that same God. Oh, you know, Paul said this, we had a sentence of death unto our lives, but God delivered us. And can I say this? God will also deliver you. And God will help you and see you through. And we need to trust and rely upon God. When God places something on your heart to do for Him, you will face some challenges. You'll face some fears. And you'll even face some giants. But the key is to remember, God has called you. Commitment is the first key. When you face your giants, exercise unreserved commitment to the course that God has called you. It might be in your marriage. It might be with your children. It might be a decision that you've made for God. I'll never forget this. Never. It was about 18 years ago. Pastor called me and asked me, he said, hey, I need you and Brother Schmidt to go make this visit. There's a faithful family in our church that's moving away, and I can't get there, and we'd like for you to go there and have a word of prayer as they kind of send them off. So I went over to Brother Schmidt's office and said, hey, Pastor wants us to go do something. And we drove over there and had a time of fellowship with this family, an elderly family. I think the brother was probably about 75 or so. And I had a time of prayer and a time of reminiscing over the blessings of God. And all of a sudden, he looked at us and he started shaking a bit. He said, I need to share something with you. So Brother Schmidt and I, we stood there and we said, sure. He reached into his back pocket and pulled out his wallet. And he had a little card in his hand. And you could tell that the card was very, very old. It was very worn and discolored. And he opened it up, and before he even shared it with us, tears began to roll down his face. And this is what he told us. He said, I made a decision when I was a teenager. I went to a camp. And God spoke to my heart. And I know that God called me to preach. And I made that decision. And had the date on there and had his name and he signed it. And with tears flowing down his face, but he said, I got afraid. I got fearful. Because I couldn't comprehend how God could use somebody like me. And as he stood there talking to us, tears flowing down his face, he said, I missed the calling of God upon my life. I've wasted my life. we tried to encourage him and cheer him up, and we had prayer with him again. But I walked away from that. Here was a decision that he made probably 60 years ago that haunted him for 60 years because of fear. He didn't step out and obey God. There's some teenagers and some junior campers that made some decisions last week. Now, you may not have a little decision card in your back wallet or in your Bible, but you know what God did in your heart. And I just want to challenge you in this area. Don't treat that very flippantly. That was a God moment in your life. And there needs to be a commitment. Exercise unreserved commitment to the course, listen, that God has called you to. That has God has called you to. Now, I'm not sure what decisions and what promises that you've made to God, but listen, if you're going to kill some giants in your life, just like Joshua had to realize that, hey, God called me. I know our leader's dead, but now God's called me to take up that baton and to run that race and to lead our children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua had to be committed to the calling that was upon his life. And as a church, individually, we need to have that same unresolved commitment. But second of all, the second key ingredient, not only commitment, but companionship. Look what the Bible says in verse number 5. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Here it is. We see companionship. We never have to encounter our fears alone. Now, listen, you have some giants. You're going to have some giants tomorrow. They're going to, boom, there it is. Listen, you do not have to encounter your giants, your fears, alone. God was just encouraging Joshua. He said, Joshua, as I was with Moses, listen, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And can I say this? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God was with Moses and if God was with Joshua, hey, listen, God will be with us tomorrow. Man, what an encouragement to realize that he's going to walk with us and his presence is going to abide with us. We don't have to face our fears alone. His presence doesn't remove our fears. Isn't it amazing what sometimes fears children? The strangest things. We took our grandkids to Disneyland, and they were afraid of Winnie the Pooh ride. We couldn't figure it out. I mean, they cried, they squirmed and kicked, and finally we just said, you know what, you're going on the ride, and you're going to enjoy it. Shut up. and we put them on the ride, and boy, I tell you what, Bonnie had Allie, and I had Abby, and boy, I tell you what, Abby was just holding on to me. Now listen, my presence didn't remove her fears. Man, she was trembling. But my presence, though, brought some comfort. And may I say this, listen, God's presence is not going to remove your fears. But his presence is going to bring you comfort. Just knowing, listen, that you don't have to face your fears alone. Do you ever your kids kind of go through the stage where they're afraid of the dark? Huh? I think we all did. I know I did. Man, I got over it last week. It was incredible, man. Hey, just this last week, I came in here. This place was pitch black. I didn't want to walk through here. I didn't. I was just not afraid, but I was just scared, you know? And I don't like when it's just dark like that. I know there's some sick people just hiding in some corner ready to scare me or something. You know, But you know, you say, you know, you tell your child to go do it, and no, it's dark, and then all you say is, I'll go with you. Right? I'll go with you. What do they say? They still got that fear, but just knowing that you're there, they'll walk with you. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, well, I'm not afraid of anything. You know, I share this verse, I don't say every time, but almost every time, when I make a hospital visit. Because I'm not sure that if I ever not meet somebody that was in a hospital bed, they didn't have some fear. You know, when I think of King David, you know, you talk about a giant killer. I don't think of David as being fearful. To me, it's like, give me a giant. But you want to Psalms 56 in verse number 3. Simple verse. You can memorize it tonight. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. I'm looking at some faces right now. You got doctor's appointments. You got some life-changing situations coming into your life. You have some fear. Rightly so. But I can just have a little bit more faith. Just say, what time I'm afraid, I'm fearful. I'm not sure what the doctor's going to say. But when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Our response to our fears should be, I'm going to trust in an all-powerful God. His presence is guaranteed when you and I face our giants. Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Can we say that? The Lord is my helper. Wow. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. I love Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So how are we going to be giant killers this week? Number one, we need commitment. Number two, we have companionship. But number three, we need some courage. Look at verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according all that is in the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper in whithersoever thou goest. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. We need courage. Don't depend upon your capacity to conquer your fears. Isaiah chapter 12, and verse number 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Discover the promises that God has for us to conquer those fears, those giants. You know, you look in this little portion of Scripture, God promises to fulfill his plan in verse number 6. He said, wherever the soles of your feet are going to tread upon, I'm going to give you that land. Hey, that's God's plan. That was God's promise to the children of Israel. Hey, Joshua, you walk over there, it's going to be yours. Talks about his protection. He promises that in verse number 5. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. Talks about his presence. He said, I will be with thee. Talks about his precepts in verse number 8, the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosper, and then thou shalt have good success. And God promises to bring the victory. So we see courage to face your fears with a heart filled with faith. Not in our ability, though, but in God's. Amen. Now, the fourth ingredient is confidence. Confidence. Our confidence is not founded in our strength, but rests solely in God's might. Our response to giants is to trust in what God can do in us, then through us. Philippians 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And listen, the key ingredient of having this confidence is trust. And we know the crowning verse for trust is Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Listen, our trust is in Almighty God. Now, very quickly, let's wrap this up and kind of put some handles on why we can trust God. All right, three major doctrines. Number one is his omniscience. He knows what's best for me. Listen, he knows everything about me. He knows everything about you. Listen, we can't fool God. You know, we may try to fool one another. Well, you know, we say, hey, I got my act together. No, you don't. I don't have my act together. None of us have our acts together. And God knows it. God knows everything about it. In Psalms chapter number 139, verses 1 through 6, oh Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsitting, my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beside me and behind me and before me and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Hey, listen, the psalmist said, you know, God knows everything about me. I can't even comprehend that. But listen, God knows everything. And God knows what I need in my life more than what I think I need in my life. Listen, we need to trust God. I can trust God because he's omniscient. God knows what's best for me. But second of all, we can trust God because he's omnipotent. Listen, God can do what's best for me. Hey, listen, there's nothing too hard for my God. God spoke this universe into existence. He said, let there be stars. Boom, there were stars. Let there be water. Boom, there was water. Our God is a powerful God. And listen, he can do what's best for you. Now listen, God's not in the business of just fixing our lives, changing our circumstances. What he wants to do is transform your heart. And so many times the way he does that is through the pressures and the giants that we face. I can trust God because he's omniscient. And he knows what's best for me. Man, I can trust God because he's omnipotent. He can do what's best for me. And listen, here it is. I can trust God because he loves me. And listen, God knows what's best for you. He can do what's best for you. And can I say this? He's going to do what's best for you because he loves you. And listen, and because of that, listen, man, we ought to trust him. Why shouldn't we trust him? God doesn't promise that we're going to have a life of ease. He said just the other, hey, you're going to face some giants. But listen, don't fear. Don't fear. Be strong. Be courageous. Why? Because I'm with you. Let's look at those four ingredients real quickly on the screen. We see, first of all, commitment. Unresolved commitment to the course that God has called us. Then we see the word companionship. Listen, we don't have to face our giants alone. Hey, listen, you go to the doctor and, And you might be there alone, but listen, acknowledge the presence of God is there with you. Not only his companionship, but his courage. Hey, listen, we're not resting in our ability. Listen, our courage comes from this, that God can do anything. Amen. And then our confidence, because who he is. Listen, I'm not sure what you're going to face this week. I can tell you what, when some giants come marching into your life, we can conquer them. We have hearts of commitment. Have hearts realizing that we have companionship, that we can have the courage that we need, and that confidence in an almighty God. Let's stand together as a church.